adjust accordingly, although I always like seeing. Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining. And I'd like to begin our discussion by asking you the following question. We refer to the holiday that is going to begin in just a few weeks as Pesach. Pesach. By the way, how would you translate that word in English? What's the English name for the holiday?
Passover.
Why do we call it that?
Because Hashem passed over, the angel of death passed over the doorpost of the Hebrews who had blood on it.
Very good. Jeffrey responds because God or the angel of death, one of the two, that's already an interesting point you raised there, passed over the houses of the Hebrews during the plague of the firstborn. So I had two thoughts I wanted to address with you this morning. Number one, is that really the translation of the word Pesach? Does Pesach actually mean Passover? We're going to see there's another explanation for the word Pesach as well. There are primarily two different approaches to the word Pesach, and I'd like to explore both of them with you. And number two, whatever Pesach means, why is that the name of the holiday? Why is that the aspect of the miracles of the Exodus, all the 10 plagues, all the things that God did for us and taking us out? Why is that what we call it? Why do we emphasize that notion of psicha, of passing over? You can call it a lot of things. For instance, in fact, the Torah does not call the holiday Pesach. The Torah calls the holiday Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of Matzah. Maybe you could have called it what we say in Kiddush, Zeman Chirutenu, or Chag HaChirut, the holiday of freedom. Why focus on this notion of passing over? So these are the two questions that I want to focus on with you today. Okay? Good. Any thoughts before we go in? What do you think? What's all
important? Yes, I have a thought, but I'm cheating, because I learned this with one of my rabbis a number of years ago. Peh is mouth. Sach is a lot. There's an argument that there's a lot of lashon hara, and how much you say out of your mouth, peh, sach, is really what counts here. Anyway, that's what I learned a number of years ago, one of the many interpretations.
Nice. That's an interpretation. I think the Arizal was the one who said peh, sach refers to the fact that the mouth talks a lot, that it's a holiday of speech. We speak over the Haggadah. But that's more of, I would say, al derech haremez. It's not the simple explanation of the word Pesach, but it's an explanation. We're going to explore a few more. I'm now going to share my screen with you. I hope that's okay with you. And let's begin. So, as I mentioned, we refer to this in the Seder itself. We talk about, at the end of Magid, Rabbi Gamliel tells us, there are three things that we need to mention during our Passover Seder. And if you don't mention them, you're dropping the ball. They are, of course, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Why Pesach, says the Haggadah? Pesach, shehayu ochlim, bizman shebeit hamikdash haya kayam. The Parban Pesach, the Passover offering. And I use the word Passover there. We're going to maybe that wasn't accurate. That our forefathers ate when the Beis HaMikdash stood, what was it for? Why did they eat it? Al shum sheposach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al batei avoteinu b'Mitzrayim. Because the Holy One, blessed be He, Pesach over the houses of our forefathers in Egypt. Shene'emar, as it states, Va'amartem zevach pesachu l'Hashem. You shall say, this is a Passover offering for God, asher pasach abatei b'nei Yisrael bin Mitzrayim, that He pesached on the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, b'nakfo et Mitzrayim v'pateinu itzil, when He inflicted the Egyptians, and He saved our houses. And when the nation heard that, they bowed down. What does the term Pesach mean? So this takes us back to the Parsha in Bo itself, where the Torah is now right, this is immediately before the final plague of the 10 plagues, Makat Bechorot, and Hashem is giving instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu as to how the Bnei Yisrael should behave during this period in preparing the Karban Pesach. And he says as follows, as Jeffrey referred to before, the blood will be for you a sign over your houses, on your Asheratem Sham, where you are. And I will see the blood. And I will Pesach upon you. There will not be a plague of destruction when I strike the land of Egypt. When I strike the land of Egypt. Okay. What does the word Pesach mean? If you look in source number 3, this was an argument already in the Midrash, where the Midrash says as follows. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Al tikri ufasachti ela ufasati. Do not read it as pasachti, as a pasa. Will anyone know what pasa means with an iron? Lifsoa? What does pei samach ayin mean? What's a psi'a?
To skip.
Right. To skip. Right. So this is the classic interpretation. So he says you could take the word pei samachet, substitute the chet for an ayin, and that's what you're supposed to do to interpret the word. It means to skip. Shakadosh baruch hu medalega batei b'nav mitzrayim. For the Holy One, blessed be He, skipped over the houses of the Jews in Egypt. Shene'emar kol dodi hinei zeba medaleg alei harem. Referring to a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved is coming, skipping over the mountaintops. Va'omer domed dodi letzvila ofer hayalim. The voice of my beloved, behold, it comes skipping over the mountains. So you see that in Shir HaShirim we refer to God skipping over to reach Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. Okay, that's the first explanation. Take a look at Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ufasachti Alechem, Alechem Ani Chas, Ve'en Ani Chas, Al HaMitzrim. I am going to have compassion for you, but I will not have compassion for the Egyptians. And it says, Haresh haya mitzri betope toli shel Yisrael, if an Egyptian was in the house of a Jew, shomei ani yad nitzel begino, you might have thought the Egyptian would be saved. Talmud lomar ufasavti aleichem, no, aleichem anichas velo ala mitzrim. I will have compassion for you, but not for the Egyptians. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what does Ufasachti Alechem mean? What does it mean to say that God was Pasach on the Batei B'nei Israel, on the Jewish houses?
Compassion.
Pasachti means?
He favored the Jew.
Exactly. He had compassion for the Jewish people. He had mercy upon the Jewish people. So therefore, the word Pesach does not mean Passover. It can be described as the holiday of compassion, if we were to call it Pesach. Indeed, these two interpretations are offered by Rashi himself on Shmot 12:13. Take a look at source number 4. Ufasachti, the first explanation of the word Ufasachti, I Pesacht, is Vicha Malti, and I had compassion. Vidomelo Pasoach Vehimlit, it's comparable to the usage of the word Pesach in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu 31:5. For your reference, you can look at source number 5, and I brought you this Pasuk. Here God is describing how he will protect the land of Jerusalem. And where he says as follows, like kitziporim afot, like birds that fly, kein gagen Hashem tzvakot al Yerushalayim, even so will the Lord of hosts shield Jerusalem, ganon v'tzil, shielding and saving, pasoach v'himlit. protecting, and rescuing. From the context of this notion of genon, hitzil, haganah, hatzalah, protection, and saving, Rashi assumes that the word pesoach in Yeshaya means to have compassion. In fact, if you look in Targum Unklus, in the Aramaic interpretation of the Torah, on this pasuk, he says the word is va'echos, and I will have compassion. That's the first interpretation in Rashi. Says, continues Rashi, va'ani omer, kol psicha lashon dilog ukfitsa. Psicha refers to jumping and skipping. Upsicha ufasachti, what does it mean? And I will pass over. Min halit midaleg hayab in batei Yisrael v'atei mitzrayim. Shoyishuyin zebet ozeh. He skipped over the Jewish houses to the Egyptians' houses because they lived among one another. V'chein poschim ashtei si'ifim. He refers to a pasuk in Melachim. I brought that for you in source number 6. This refers to the story of Eliyahu Bahara Carmel. Did you learn that from a Yeres ever? The story in Eliyahu? Har Carmel? So if you look at that story, Eliyahu Hanavi is angry at the Jewish people because they were simultaneously serving Baal and serving God, Hashem. And he says to them, Mayagesh Eliyahu akol ha'am. Eliyahu goes to the nation. He brought them near. He approached them. Vayomer, and he says, "An matayatem poschim ashei ha-si'ifim. Until when will you keep hopping between these two opinions? You're jumping from one to another. Im Hashem Elokim, if you serve God, l'chu acharav, then follow him. V'im habal l'chu acharav, and if you're going to serve the Baal, then serve him. Be consistent. Poschim ashei ha-si'ifim. You're skipping from one to another. Thus, in one context, pesoach does mean to skip. And indeed, Rashi prefers this explanation. So we have two explanations of the word pesach. Am I clear with this? Do we agree? Two explanations of the word. Explanation one, to skip over. Explanation two, to have compassion. Good. So now we ask the following question. Now we'll stop for a second. I want to get your thoughts, if you have any. Let's take each explanation one at a time. If the holiday is, if the word isn't Passover, let's be controversial. You could tell your family at the Seder, you know how you always translate this as the Passover Haggadah? Misconception. Pesach doesn't mean Passover. At least according to one approach. It means compassion, mercy. It's the compassion Haggadah. Why would we focus on this notion of compassion? Or pity, or mercy? Why is that the focus on the night of the Seder or on the holiday of Pesach?
Because God had compassion for us.
God had compassion for us. Absolutely. Why do you think he needed to have compassion for us?
Well, it says he heard our cries. He remembered.
He remembered. 100%. It definitely says he heard our cries. Yes, John?
We were chosen.
That's right. We're focusing on God's love for us. In fact, I think this is a very compelling explanation. The focus.
Why is your matzah called bread of affliction?
Why is matzah called bread of affliction is another question. Briefly, I'll answer that there are two opinions within that. Some see it as the bread of slavery, that it has a dual symbolism. It's both the bread that we, Rabban says, it's both the bread that we ate when we were in a hurry to leave Egypt, and it's also the bread we ate while we were in Egypt. However, the Maharal says that it's called bread of affliction, it's not really affliction. Oni is poverty, and it's poverty as opposed to matzah ashirah, wealthy matzah, actually refers to matzah that has extra additives, extra ingredients.
No, I was just thinking.
And Nachem only has water and flour. And therefore, yeah. Since it just has the basics, we call it Lechem Oni. Not because it's the bread of affliction. But anyway, back to the question of Pesach. I think it's very understandable to suggest that we call it Pesach because it's about Hashem expressing his love for the Jewish people. That's what we're celebrating. And I want to bring it a step further. And now we'll go back to the screen share. Why was this love necessary? Take a look at Rashi, if you look at source number 7 here. So first of all, in terms of why you would prefer this explanation as opposed to Passover, Rav Yaakov Mecklenburg suggests the reason that you would is because why would you talk about God skipping over? That's a personification of God. That's assuming that God occupies some sort of physical space and he needed to avoid the obstacle of the Jewish houses and therefore he skipped over them. So obviously that's a parable. We don't think that's actually true, but Rav Yaakov Mecklenburg says, why even say it? He says, therefore, it's more correct to interpret this as an expression of protection and saving, as it's Targum, and I will have pity, similar to protecting and rescuing, as it says, in our houses he saved, and not an expression of skipping and jumping. For why should we corporealize God necessarily? Why assume that God had to move? If we don't need to, we can assume or instead suggest that Pesach means compassion. But why was this compassion necessary? Take a look at this midrash in the source number 8. The midrash here is to alleviate this misconception, which is don't think that the Jewish people were these amazing righteous saints that deserve this amazing divine intervention from God. Perish the thought, it's actually not so. Says the Medrash Seichel Tov on this parsha in Shemot Vamartem Zeva Pesach Hu Lashem. You will say it was a Passover offering for God. Rabbi Yosef Agli Yomer, Reuyin Hayu Yisrael Kilaya B'Mitzrayim. The Jewish people were worthy of annihilation in Egypt. Ache Gamar Ha'acharon Shabahem Et Pischo. Until the last one of them completed his Pesach offering. Meaning, the Jews were just as, or at least also guilty, and would have been wiped out with the plague. And you know what saved them? What saved them was the dedication they demonstrated to God in offering the Karban Pesach. That's what saved them. This Karban Pesach, which we refer to, brought about this compassion. And if you look in source number 9, Rabbi Yehuda Lowe, the Maharal of Prague, elaborates upon this notion in his work on the Pesach holiday in chapter 60. Says the Maharal, "Umivne kinyan hamala hazot, shudavar chidush loy haya b'cholamako." Maral here is referring to the following, which is, why do we make such a big deal about the fact that God spared the Jews from Makah Bechorot? He spared the Jews from many Makot. He spared the Jews from Makah Dam. Jewish people, we say, had regular water. He spared the Jews from Makah Choshech. They had light. Why do we make such a big deal that he passed over the Jews, quote unquote, or didn't annihilate the Jews during Makah Bechorot? He did the same with other plagues as well. The Maral says that Makah Bechorot by nature should have been inclusive of everyone. It should have had collateral damage. Since, as we say in the Seder, God was personally involved in Makah Bechorot, it should have been a plague that annihilated everyone. It should have knocked out the Jews too. And therefore, for God to intervene and protect them was of special significance. And therefore, he says, Siva lahakriv karban pesach. He therefore commanded them to offer the karban pesach. Ki mi'achar shaloha Yisrael efshal yot nitzona min ha-mako pecharo ki im al yedei shein meshavim shel ha-kadosh baruch hu v'him lechelko. That the only way Israel could have been saved from the plague of the firstborn was through their being considered of God and his portion. Siva lahem akriv karban. What saved the Jewish people from Makat Bechorot is that Hashem looked at them and said, these are mine. These are my people. They belong to me. That's what saved us. We were of God. We were his portion. And therefore, he required them to bring a carbon. And he has a provocative line here. Ki be'eza inyan heim shelo. In what way are they his? Umahim tzrichim lo. And what do they need him for? Ki im lahakriv lefanav la'avod lo uva'avodahim shelo. If not, to serve him and to bring offerings before him, and through that service, they are his. We became gods by serving him. And the Karban Pesach is the beginning of that service to God, the beginning of our devotion. B'chevan sha'ba'avodahim shalo l'kach lo higyel lahem makat bechorot klal. Since through his service, we became gods, therefore, the plague of the firstborn didn't reach them at all. B'fnei kach nikra karban azeh Pesach. And says the Maharal, this is why the offering is referred to as Pesach, Kitargumo Chayas, Shehu Lashon Rachamanut. As the Targum interprets it, Chayas, which means a language of mercy. Uvior Inyan Zed, the explanation is, Shekevan Sha'atem Chelko Sha'akarosh Baruch Hu, since you are God's portion, Hu Merachim Vechas Al Asher Lo Shelo Yovat, he has compassion and mercy for those who are his, such that they will not be destroyed. Comes a quick question I'll take in a second. Zeu inyan Pesach, that is what the notion of Pesach is, kasher tavin. So the notion according to the Maharal of Pesach is that we are gods because of the service that we offer to him, and therefore, he has that compassion for us. It's this sort of two-way street. By serving God, we become his, and we're deserving of his compassion, despite the fact that maybe naturally, we should have also been afflicted by the plague of the firstborn. Okay, let me pause the share and take the question. Oh, sorry.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Here's the question. I'm sorry if I'm putting you to the wall on this. I'd like your comment, please. Sure. So we just learned from the Maharal and others that I don't like to say Jews because they really weren't Jews yet, but the Hebrews were living in the 49th level of impurity, at all of them. But yet we learned from the Midrash that about 4/5 apparently were done for during the plague of darkness. So Rabbi, right. Are you bothered by that? Are you bothered that the Midrash says that we lost 4/5? Now, keep in mind, everybody was in the 49th level of impurity. I'm bothered by that. Like here I'm hearing from the sages, well, yeah, you know, God had compassion and we were all one. No, we weren't. We lost 4/5, man. How could we all be one and God have compassion when 4/5 during the plague of darkness were done for? Comment?
Good question. It's a good question. If you're asking me, am I bothered that 4/5 of the Jewish people died? The answer on an emotional level is certainly yes. I think it should bother us. In terms of theologically and philosophically, I think there's always a balance between midat hadin and midat harachamim. I think God he works through his attribute of justice when he needs to, and his mercy he's merciful when he needs to be. So I don't think that we would say that when he killed the 4/5 of the Jews, who for whatever reason were incapable of leaving Egypt and joining us in our national quest, I don't think that was an expression of his compassion, at least on a simple level. That's not what I would say. I agree with that. This notion of compassion is specifically being expressed after those people die during Machah Choshech, as the Jews are about to leave. I think what we would say is, they were all in the 49th level of Toma, but even though we were on such a low level, there was still a portion of the Jews who God wanted to save even though their behavior wasn't deserving of such. And the only way he could do it was by offering them an opportunity to begin their status as his portion through this service. But apparently, you're right, there were those who were just lost, who were not ready to accept this mission. They had become so assimilated or acculturated to the Egyptian way of life that they weren't ready to leave. And they did indeed get annihilated. So I think that's a fair point. Again, does it bother me? Emotionally, of course, it bothers me. Philosophically, I think at least we can suggest that, yes, God does sometimes exercise the attribute of justice. That's how I would respond, okay?
Not only that, Rabbi.
Shut up, Rabbi.
If he had annihilated all the Jews, who would follow him?
That's a good question.
You know, I mean, he promised that he would give them the land and all these. So how would the promise be fulfilled if everyone was dead?
It's a fair question. That being said, I think you could still say that, you know, it's compassionate that he saved us, right, if he weren't deserving of it. But I hear you. It's an interesting question.
Albert, to your point, I think that's been the rhyme of our history. Every so often, we're getting wiped. Some of us are getting wiped out. It seems like there's just not going to be a lot of us, man. Even in the end of days, I don't know. It's happening now, right? With assimilation in the States. It's happening as we speak. We're seeing it.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? It's upon us, whoever is left, to be strong. I think that's, and to sort of, to continue this two-way street of compassion with God. Let me go to now the other explanation, though, right? Because, of course, we're still going to call it Passover. I'm not here to abandon that notion. Why focus on the notion of psicha, of skipping? Let me share you this Rashi, where Rashi takes it to the next level. Again, Rashi offers both explanations for the term Pesach. But that being said, at the same time, Rashi nevertheless prefers the Passover explanation, the derech dilugu kfitza, a way of skipping and jumping. But look what he says here. It's the Torah in Shmot Yud-Bet Yud-Gimel calls the carbon Pesach, Pesach hu la-Hashem. It is a Passover offering to God. Says Rashi, ha-carbon karoi Pesach, the offering is called Pesach. Al-Shem ha-diluk, because of the skipping, for God skipped over the houses of the Jews, which were among the houses of the Egyptians. He would jump from Egyptian to Egyptian. And the Jew in the middle would be saved. And look what he says now. Here's the kicker. You also, in return, do all of the service relating to the sacrifice in a way of skipping and jumping. Zecher lishmo shekaroi Pesach. As a remembrance for its name, which we call Pesach. Meaning it's the notion of skipping is not just a question of what happened in the past to the Jewish people, but it's also the way we're meant to approach the Pesach service in a way of dilug and kfitza, skipping and jumping. Why? Why would we approach this in a way of skipping and jumping? What does that reflect? What I think it reflects, I'll say three things. Number one, it reflects the notion of chipazon. Chipazon means we left Mitzrayim quickly. We left in a haste. And therefore, we act in carrying out the Pesach service with a certain speed, with an energy, doing it quickly. But it also reflects our enthusiasm, reflects a swiftness, that when you're energetic about something, you don't push it off. You don't look at it as a burden. That you do it quickly, you move, you do it at the first opportunity, you have a certain zrizut, an alacrity about the way that you approach the service of God, demonstrating your commitment and enthusiasm. And I'll add another idea before we get to Gershon Hennef Leiner here, which I think says something beautiful, which is that of Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner has this notion that we hurry so much on Pesach, right? Everything is chipazon. You hurry to get the matzah before it becomes chametz. Everything at the Seder has to be done at a certain time. The notion of chipazon is what he calls, referring to a concept of the Maharal, of trying to be limala min hazman. This notion of zrizim akdim lemitzvot, that we don't, as the Chazal say, we don't make our mitzvot chametz. We don't let our mitzvot linger unnecessarily, which means that we see mitzvot as something that we want to be sort of beyond time. We want to be as I would say, to transcend the limitations of time as much as possible. Now, of course, we can't actually transcend time, but what that means is, I think, two things. Number one, when you're doing a mitzvah, you're in it. We're not bound. We're not thinking constantly, okay, what time is it? When am I going to get to the next thing? You're in it. You're not bound by time. And number two, it means that when we approach the service of God, we do it with the absolute minimum delay. That the way we approach it is, this is what I'm doing and now. And even if it seems, based on time limitations, it's not going to work. I'm not going to have time. How am I going to find time to set aside time to learn? How am I going to find time to pray three times a day? How am I going to find time? No. We're not limited by that time constraint. We find a way. And everything else falls into place. And if you look here, the Rebbe of Ishbitz, or Gershon Hennef Leiner, who's actually referred to as Radina Rebbe, I should say, the third Rebbe from the Hasidic dynasty of Ishbitz, has a beautiful idea relating to this skipping. And he says as follows. It's in source number 11. Kibitzeitami Mitzrayim lohaya adai makirim mahim etzalbora. When the Jews were in Egypt, they still didn't fully recognize what they were to their creator. Rather, God showed them above their comprehension the notion in a way of skipping and jumping. God took you out of Egypt at night. This notion that God brought us to a place when we left Egypt, which we weren't intellectually ready for. We didn't quite comprehend intellectually what was happening, what it meant to be God's people. We weren't there intellectually. God skipped. Like the notion of skipping a grade, right? When you skip a grade, it's not that you're jumping over it. It's that you're not ready for it, but you skip. That's what God did. He skipped with us. He brought us in a place, in a way of jumping, to a place we might not quite have been ready for, but he brought us there. He says, V'negedzeh orach dilo makribin Yisrael karban Pesach. Corresponding with this notion of skipping, the Jewish people offer the Pesach offering. K'mo shekatuv amartam zeh Pesach hu la'ashem, asher Pesach. As we says in the Torah, you shall say this is a carbon Pesach offering to God that he skipped. To demonstrate, to exemplify what's written in the Song of Songs, we say to Hashem, pull me after you and we'll run. Meaning, God, I don't quite understand where you're going, but pull me and we'll run together. That the Jewish people, Israel, is pulled after Hashem's will in a way of skipping. When we don't know necessarily where this is going, but we skip. We follow him. We follow him. We make that intellectual leap. And that's why we eat it quickly. Corresponding to this notion of skipping, of this taking a leap of faith. God, I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm following you. It's this notion of Na'aseh v'nishma, he mentions, where we say, I don't know what exactly you're saying, but I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. That's the notion of skipping. And I'll leave you with the thought of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev in source number 12. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev asked the following question. Amartem zevach pesach hu la'Hashem. You shall say it's a Pesach offering for God. There is to understand. If you look in the Torah always calls this holiday the holiday of matzah. And yet we don't call it that. The rabbis don't call it that. It's not Mesechet Chag HaMasot, it's Tractate Pesachim. We call it Pesach. Where in the Torah does it allude to the fact that you should call the holiday Pesach? The whole Torah, this holiday, is referred to as the holiday of Matzot. It says in Shir HaShirim, I am to my beloved, as we say around Chodesh Elul, and my beloved is to me. We tell the praise of God, and God tells our praise. So it is, she'anu manichin tefillin. We put on our tefillin, b'katib behen shevash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in our tefillin, we have the Torah scrolls which describe God's praise. As the Gemara says, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu maniach tefillin shekadu behen shevach Yisrael. Hashem wears the tefillin which discuss the praise of Israel. Hashem says our praise, we say his praise. Right? In Hashem's tefillin, the Gemara says, what does it say? Mi ke'amcha Yisrael, or Ashrecha Yisrael mi kamocha. How praiseworthy you are, Israel. Who's like you? Hine Chag HaMatzot nikra Shevach Yisrael. God calls it Chag HaMatzot to reflect our praise. V'ayim Barashi, Apostlik, V'yofu et ha-batzik, U'got Matzot, V'ayim Barashi, Magat Shvachan Shei Yisrael, right? Why did we eat Matzot? Because God took us out in a hurry. We didn't know where he was going. We didn't know he was bringing us in the desert, and yet we followed him. We followed him quickly, without thinking, into the desert. That's our praise. Elozeb b'Torah nikra yom tov b'shein Chag HaMatzot. In the Torah, in God's written work, Hashem calls it the holiday of Matzot. Hashem yiparab misaper sheva shay Yisrael, because Hashem tells our praise. V'anu koren hayom tov b'shein Pesach. We call it Pesach. Al shem shvach Hashem yiparab. For God's praise. We praise Hashem through the way we refer to the holiday. V'amartem zeva Pesach hu l'Hashem asher Pesach. You shall say, it's a Pesach offering to God. Shushevach Hashem yisparach. That's praising God. Derech ha-pasuk ha-nila dodi v'dodi li. And I think the point is that both, whether you refer to it as a compassion or refer to it as skipping, it reflects our unique connection and relationship with God. That Hashem extended a compassion and love for us over this holiday. That he skipped, that he brought us to a place we weren't ready for. That he had this compassion for us, even though we weren't deserving of it. And in return, eternally, forevermore, we extend that in return. We extend our love to follow God, even if it means taking a leap of faith. Even if it means skipping. Even if it means trying as best as we can not to be bound with the constraints of time. And we extend that love to him as well, that compassion. That we, wherever he brings us, we will follow him. And so as we approach Pesach, keeping this notion of both compassion and skipping in mind, we rededicate ourselves to his service, to being his portion, to being his people, and to taking that leap of faith and following Hashem wherever he brings us.